A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. What if you had the chance to draw or design, to conjure up or to create the perfect woman? What would she look like for you if you could do that? Can I tell you what my perfect woman would look like for me? Now don't tell the bishop, okay? This is what she would look like. She would be about 5 feet, 6 inches tall. She would have long, black hair. She would have high cheekbones, a radiant smile, eyes that dance when she laughs. She would be a woman who is purposeful, passionate, and pensive. She would be religious and resourceful. She would be humble and holy. And she would also be from India. Do you know who I just described? It's my own mother. That's what she looks like. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the first woman a man ever falls in love with is his own mother. In an innocent way, of course. And she thereby becomes the standard by which all subsequent females are measured in that man's mind. You see, for every man, his mother is always the first person he places on the pedestal of the ideal woman. This is what a woman should be. Do you know what is one of the most famous pieces of American art known throughout the world? It is actually the portrait of a mother. In 1871, the American-born painter, James Whistler, painted his own mother, Anna McNeil Whistler. That portrait has become so famous and popular, it is now hailed as an American icon and as a Victorian Mona Lisa. One day, Whistler was complimented on the portrait of his mother that he had painted. And he answered, "You know how it is. One tries to make one's mommy just as nice as he can. The first woman Whistler ever saw and then loved was his own mother. So naturally, he would paint her as nice as he could. We would all do that for our own mommies. Today we celebrate the feast of the Immaculate Conception. Now, many Catholics miss the message of this feast by a mile. They think it's about Jesus' conception, but they are wrong. Today is about Mary's being conceived in the womb of her mother, Saint Anne. By the way, that is why this four-story convent building right next to this church of the Immaculate Conception is called Saint Anne's. Saint Anne, the Immaculate Conception. Oh, I get it now. But let me suggest another way to probe deeper into the meaning of this feast. Try to see it as Jesus creating his own mother. Jesus is the only son in history who had the chance to do that, because he was God. Now, how do you suppose he would have designed his mother? Would she have unsightly physical imperfections? Would she suffer from defects of character? Would she display any moral failings? Not at all. Indeed, he would make her perfect, immaculate, that is, free from stain and sin. From the very first moment of her existence, from her conception. If you had a chance to do that for your mom, would you do it? I know I would, and I know Jesus would, and therefore I know he did. That extraordinary outpouring of saving grace upon Mary at the first moment of her conception. Because Jesus did save his mother. He saved her before she sinned, not afterwards, like the rest of us. That doctrine is called the Immaculate Conception. That is why the angel Gabriel, upon first greeting Mary in today's gospel, says with a holy hush, "Hail, full of grace." In other words, Mary is so full of grace that there is no room in her for sin. My friends, if you and I, we who are far from pure or perfect, would make our mothers as beautiful and breathtaking as we could, how much more would Jesus do that for his mother? You see, what Whistler did for his mother on paint and canvas, Jesus did for his mother with a perfect conception. The real beauty of this feast consists not only in Mary being Jesus' mother, but also in that she is our mother, too. How is that possible? Well, by baptism, we are adopted into God's family, and we therefore become Jesus' little brothers and sisters. And so we can call Mary our mother. That means we should have a living relationship with Mary, talk to her, listen to her, learn from her, love her, just like Jesus did during his earthly life, and as he still does in heaven. Now, personally, the way I do that is to pray the rosary every day. It's my way to keep in touch with my spiritual mother, with all due respect to that beautiful Indian lady. Other people have a medal of Mary they wear around their necks, or a statue of Mary at home, or a rosary hanging from their rearview mirror of their car. Maybe all you can do is say a Hail Mary when you wake up in the morning, and a Hail Mary before you fall asleep. Find your own way to make Mary your mother. Why? Because her son Jesus made his mother and our mother as perfect as a person can be. And like every good man, Jesus placed his mother high on the pedestal of the ideal woman. Let me end this homily with how Dante draws to a close his divine comedy, namely with an ode to Mary. Dante does with poetry what Whistler did with paint. They both place a mother on the pedestal of the ideal woman. Dante writes, "Virgin mother, daughter of your son, humbler and higher than all other creatures, fixed aim and goal of the eternal plan." Then the Florentine poet continues, "You are the one who lifted human nature to such nobility that its own maker did not disdain to be made of its making." In other words, when God sat down to make the perfect woman, he made Mary. Praised be Jesus Christ.